Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the epistle reading for this day, as well as the Old Testament and Gospel. But I read for you again these words. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So far the reading of the text. Dearly beloved in Christ, the only Savior of the world. Scandals come and scandals go. A day doesn't go by without a scandal of some kind. The world of politics seems to be nothing but scandal after scandal. What's interesting, though, is not always the scandal itself, but who is scandalized or offended by it. You've undoubtedly heard about the uproar in Minneapolis over the attempted enforcement of immigration law. It's quite a scandal. Yet in other states, the same enforcement is happening, but without hardly a notice. What's the difference? Is offense given or is it taken? Or is there something else at work? Our readings today talk about scandal and offense. Consider the scandal of God taking his people to court. He says, "Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. The Lord has an indictment against his people, and he will contend with Israel." Can you imagine? God accuses his people of forgetting his gracious love toward them. Indeed, he reminds them that he has brought them out of Egypt, redeemed them from the house of slavery. He sent them leaders. He reminded them of this, that they may know the saving acts of God. In addition to their waywardness, they think that they can buy favor with God with burnt offerings, or even more. In reminding them of all this, God is calling them to repentance and back to himself. He says, "He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly before your God." In other words, he requires us to live as his people and walk in his commandments. So what about us? Would or could God bring an indictment against us? Have we fallen and gone astray from his word, his ways? Have we despised his manifold gifts to us? Do we forget all that he's done for us and for our salvation? Do we think that we can earn his favor? Do we even want to? Repent. His word stands sure. He has more than enough to indict us, try us, convict us, and condemn us. And yet the ways of God are very different from the ways of the world. Isaiah tells us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Indeed, God's thoughts sound utterly foolish to the unbelieving world. Consider that in our modern scientific world, the Word of God is discarded as irrelevant. In general, many, if not most, think the Bible doesn't have anything to say to us or our day, unless they can somehow twist it into their favor. Many simply consider God's Word outmoded and old-fashioned. Thus, St. Paul tells us, the cross is a scandal, a stumbling block. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For the Jews, Jesus himself is a stumbling block because he wasn't the Messiah they expected or wanted. They didn't expect their Savior from Roman oppression to be executed by the Roman oppressors. But a dead Savior isn't just hard for a Jew to understand. Lots of people would rather prefer strength to weakness. A God who on one particular Friday afternoon hung dead on a cross doesn't fit into the kind of religion we would make up. Indeed, there are many who ask where God is when horrible things happen. Hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, earthquakes, fires, and so much more. If God is living, is loving, and all-powerful, why does he allow such things? Why doesn't he prevent them? Why does he allow evil to flourish and run rampant? And the cross? It's been a stumbling block, a scandal for 2,000 years. A man, beaten and bloody, is crucified. What good did it do? After all, it doesn't seem to have any value today. The world seems to be getting worse and worse. Oh, and the Gentiles, the Greeks. Jesus and the cross is a scandal to them, too. For the Greeks seek wisdom. They want what works. But the cross doesn't seem very wise. In fact, it seems rather foolish. Why did Jesus die? And in the way he did. It sure doesn't look like anything good could come from it. And yet, the cross of Christ faces the world's challenges by overwhelming evil by submitting to it. No protests, no life-changing ethical approach. No pragmatic response to what you're having to deal with in the here and now. There's none of that sort of worldly wisdom in something that sends you to a bloody, pain-filled death. And yet, Paul says, to those who are being saved, The word of the cross is the power of God. And the cross is Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The cross is a stumbling block, a scandal to those who do not believe. The scriptures make that abundantly clear. It's hard to believe in the Jesus the Bible gives us because he doesn't act like we might want him to or wish he would. But the cross is not subject to human judgment. We don't get to look at what Jesus has done for us through his suffering, death, and resurrection and subject it to whatever intellectual or emotional test we want to apply. Human wisdom has no standard by which our Lord's work can be judged. But his works are to be received and adored. You see, as Lutherans, we submit to the scriptures even if and when we can't understand or make sense of them. If what the Bible says is challenging, we thank God for the opportunity to learn and grow. We don't have to defend what the Bible says. We simply believe it and confess it. After all, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. In his foolishness, he has taken up all our infirmities. He has become weak to be the Savior of the weak. He has done what seems foolish in order to demonstrate what true wisdom is. For Jesus is not above your suffering. He enters into it. He understands and endures betrayal. Jesus knows that God dying in the place of those who are born hating him doesn't make any sense. But he doesn't care that it doesn't make sense. He loves you, and you have to deal with it. Jesus enters into our weaknesses and lets it kill him. And that is God's strength. Jesus endures all of our mockery and shows us the wisdom of sacrificial love. And that is God's foolishness. The cross is filled with strength and wisdom that the world will never be able to understand. And that is why Christ crucified will always be a stumbling block and foolishness to the world, and eternal life and salvation to you. So blessed are you. For even Jesus' beatitudes sound scandalous and foolish. And certainly we like the blessings, receiving the kingdom of heaven, comfort, inheriting the earth, being satisfied, receiving mercy, seeing God and being called sons of God. But those who receive those blessings are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, those who are reviled and persecuted on account of Jesus. We're not so sure about those. If the only way we are blessed is that Jesus declared that it is so, not that we earn them by anything we do, but we receive them even as we receive all gifts from God, The blessings stand true and sure because our Lord Jesus declares them. And he backs it up with his death on the cross. Surrounded by scandals and stumbling blocks, repent and look and cling to Jesus. For the scandal of his cross covers and overcomes all others. And remember, God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.